Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Irina Lagunina, Director of Special Projects at RFERL's Russian Service. Irina, thanks very much for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting, Steve.
All right. It's good to have you back. Now, the two issues I want to talk about today are the terrible tragedy in Kazan last Tuesday and the state's continued targeting of what seems like anybody and everybody it sees as supporting Alexei Navalny or potentially supporting him. The list now includes train drivers in the Moscow metro. But let's talk first about the school shooting in Kazan. It's a difficult topic. I covered the Columbine High School attack in 1999 as I was working in Denver at the time. And it's just it's painful and outrageous that school shootings continue to happen in the United States and elsewhere. Just to give a summary of what happened in Kazan on May 11th, authorities say a 19-year-old man entered the school he used to attend and opened fire in an attack that killed seven students and two staff members, one of them a teacher. The suspect was detained and is in custody. He had no previous problems with the law, but he'd been expelled from a business school, I think, last month after essentially dropping out and had posted disturbing comments on social media the morning of the attack, according to authorities and media reports. Now, in practical terms, the state's main response has been to promise tighter gun control. Putin called for this in remarks 2 days after the shooting. But there's quite a bit of evidence that while Putin made similar calls after a deadly attack at a college in Russian-controlled Crimea in 2018, very little was done. Irina, do you think things may be different this time?
Well, the State Duma, the Russian parliament, will discuss the amendments to the gun control law tomorrow, actually, on May 18th. But since Putin said to tighten control, it will be tightened, of course. To what extent and whether all those measures will be applicable and work in Russia is a different story, because even now, the regulation on gun control is pretty tough. Mm-hmm. Even now, you have to actually get about 6-7 documents in order to obtain any sort of gun in your private possession. The other problem is that all those documents can be bought because of the corruption level in the country. So you can add 2 or 3 additional documents, but if a person can buy them on black market or fake them, then you know, no law will work in such a situation. The same was in Kazan, for example. He got this this arms absolutely legally.
Right.
Even though, according to his health condition, he was not supposed to have it, and he has a medical record that proves that actually he cannot just get arms, you know. But he did.
Right.
So that's on one hand. On the other hand, yes, you're right. Probably there will be some changes, but the changes will be cosmetic because of the popularity of hunting in Russia, because of the arms lobby, of course, which is very strong in Russia, and because of the, you know, particular character that is being produced in Russian politics, which is like a macho-style politician. Putin himself sometimes tries to produce this image, but if you look at Duma, for example, you will see quite a lot of those people who you know, try to produce this very strong, masculine, macho-style image. So this actually plays a lot into the popularity of arms in general in the country. It's a symbol of Marxism as well. So for all these three factors will probably make those changes very minor. But what is more dangerous, I think, right now is that the reaction of the authorities on the school shooting resulted in the series of actions that are being discussed right now. And gun control is only one mm-hmm. of them. Their favorite topic, of course, is internet. And the call of Vladimir Volozhin, the Speaker of Duma, to limit the anonymity in the internet is a much more disturbing factor right now than the fact that there will be cosmetic gun control measures. This can result in anything. This can result in the new restrictions on the internet. This can result in new searches in internet, new control measures of FSB over internet, even though it's known also that the Kazan shooter was not anonymous. He was absolutely open in his social media. But this reaction of the Russian politicians is very disturbing for the future freedoms in Russia.
Absolutely. I mean, so kind of two things here. I guess, you know, one is, well, there'll be changes in gun control regulations. But it's the kind of thing where, I mean, this often happens, I think, after disasters, you know, either man-caused or natural in Russia, where there's a, you know, there's a pretty loud response from Putin and others saying, you know, we need to take steps to rein this in. But as you mentioned, there are elements like corruption, kind of corner-cutting special interests that in the end prevent sort of meaningful changes often from being made. And I think that's what happened, you know, after the shooting in Crimea. Essentially, some gun control legislation was proposed, but what was passed was kind of watered down. And in some cases, I read even more lax. But as you say, also these events are, and particularly in this case, it seems, are kind of can be used as a pretext to crack down in ways that that the government wants to anyway and is trying to do anyway, in this case on the internet. And, you know, obviously we've seen the Kremlin, the state is trying to take more control of the internet. And what appears there is a somewhat of a segue, I guess, to the next topic. The clampdown on the opposition and apparently people deemed potential opposition supporters seems to continue apace. Navalny's FBK, the Anti-Corruption Commission, had been facing a hearing today on this effort by the state to brand it extremist. That has been postponed until June 9th, I believe. You know, and obviously FBK is the group that published many of Navalny's or published its reports on looking into and investigating corruption, you know, in Putin's circles. So, you know, that's also kind of a ties into the effort to rein in the internet. But there's also been developments, you know, some of the latest victims of this this crackdown, I guess, are, I believe it's more than 40 Moscow subway employees who were forced who were fired or forced to quit over what the metro management claimed was support for Navalny. Irina, do I have that right? And how did this come about? One question here is, why did metro management deem these employees to be supporters of Navalny?
Well, the you know, we saw something like this for several years now, but mostly in provinces where the most active students were expelled from the universities, where Navalny activists were sometimes fired. But it was not in Moscow, it was not in St. Petersburg, it was mostly in smaller cities where this activity is more visible for the local authorities. This is the first time that we see something like this in such a scale in Moscow. Right now, it's still unclear how many people were fired, but the Independent Trade Union of Moscow Metropolitan, Moscow workers, Moscow Metro workers state that in their group in ВКонтакте, that's the Russian social media network, they state that it's right now over 150 people. So 40 were on Friday and 40 are confirmed. So this 150, I don't know, this is the only source that I could find today for these figures. And what is interesting is that the first group was fired for what they said participation in the meetings, in the protests.
Right.
Recently. Mm-hmm. But we spoke to several of the guys who were fired, and one of them said that he was not actually an activist in any case. He was he didn't participate in the protests, but he was following Navalny and his network on social media. He was putting likes. Mm-hmm. He was commenting, and he is among those who were fired. So who is behind this? Steve, it's very difficult to say right now because Moscow Metro Company doesn't comment. On the other hand, Moscow Metro Company belongs to the government of Moscow.
Right.
So apparently it comes from either Moscow mayor under the control of FSB or from FSB directly. So from some of the security services in Russia, either directly or via Moscow government. So we'll see what's going to happen. And those people are now united. They are preparing to file a collective lawsuit against the company. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We also were told by one of the guys who was fired that according to the inner rumors or knowledge within the workers of Moscow Metro, the list consists of 500 people.
Oh, no.
You also have to bear in mind that Moscow Metro Company employs over 60,000 people.
Right.
So it's a huge company. And, of course, 150 is not that much. So we'll see if the trade union will support them as well.
Right. So it's going to be, they have an uphill battle, certainly, for that reason, and also just the reason that it's very hard to fight the state, I guess, in the courts. They'll have an uphill battle in that lawsuit. All right. Thanks very much, Irina. Thanks for joining me. We're going to have to wrap it up for today. Thanks for joining me again.
Thank you for inviting, Steve.
All right. I'll be back next Monday for another edition of The Week Ahead in Russia. And please keep an eye out for my Week in Russia newsletter on Friday. Thanks for listening.